Professor Carlstrom has not been assassinated. He is alive and well, and he has contacted, and we are connected via that terrible skin condition called Skype.
Ugh.
Hello, Eric. Welcome.
Good evening, Jeff. I'm sorry we got messed up. I got messed up because we have a time difference going on here, and I simply got on Mexican time and forgot about American time momentarily. So, yeah, I'm here. Sorry to mess things up.
That's all right.
I have been kind of gearing up for this conversation, and I'm glad that we're connected now.
All right. I want you to get a little closer to your microphone or whatever it is. You sound like you're a little bit distant from it. You're not on a speaker phone, are you?
No.
Just make sure you're on a handset or a receiver or you have a mic there, because it does sound like you're away from the mic.
Is that right? Okay, yeah. Let me adjust.
Try and get closer to it if you can. And what we'll do is just go right through the break, and we can do about, we have about a half an hour. So that a little bit more than a half an hour. So we'll just jump in. You take it.
Okay, very good.
It sounds like you're in the middle of a water fountain.
Oh, yeah, no, I do have a fountain. Is that a bother? You want me to turn that off?
No, no, it's nice. Fine. No problem. All right. Where would you like to start?
Okay. We have been talking about 9/11, and what triggered me to kind of delve back into that subject, you know, hindsight is 20/20, or it should be, unless there has been a fantastically effective cover-up, and I think that there has been, and I've just heard various comments from some of your guests suggesting that they didn't understand what happened on 9/11. So I wanted to talk about that and also talk about the Rwanda genocide, the Tutsi genocide of 1994, which was an example of electronic warfare. In 1969, General William Westmoreland, commander in Vietnam, said all future battles will be fought on the electronic battlefield. Now, as I'm, you know, studying these things, Jeff, I'm beginning to realize that most Americans hardly realize the world we really live in. And unless we get some of these facts straight, it's hard to, unless we can agree on reality, if we're all in our own little different narratives, we're very easy to divide and conquer. So
let me underscore what you're saying. Eric is completely right. He's got it nailed. Unless we're all in the same reality, which is literally impossible, because 4.5 hours a day is the average that people are terminally addicted to their cell phones, which create and emplace in their consciousness reality. Their reality is steeped in what comes through that screen. Believe it. That's their reality. It's not my reality. It's not yours. But they are controlled constantly. So unless we're on the same page in terms of reality, we don't have a chance. And I don't see that happening. And I'm not a negative person. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so just a couple more words about what happened on 9/11. Well, this is, you know, the neocons, the Jewish neocons, which is a Jewish intellectual movement going back to the 1970s and earlier, actually rebranding themselves as conservative Republicans when it was formed by people like Irving Kristol, who is a Trotskyite communist. And these are communist
yep.
Jews. Very much
yep.
like the ones that control the Democratic Party. These are the yep. people that are controlling the Republican Party since the 1970s. And they have been in control of America. America's been in control of the world. And in 1982, a journalist in Israel named Oded Yanan wrote a manifesto calling for, you know, of course, the creation of Greater Israel by a whole series of wars in the Middle East that would be run by the United States. This morphed into the ACB document, A Clean Break, also out of Israel. This morphed in America into the Project for a New American Century, October 2000 report, Rebuilding America's Defenses, or RAD, and then I'll just read a little bit of an article here about that. Under the chairmanship of William Crystal, this is Irving Crystal's son, Neocon Jew, a Neocon agent today leading the charge to impeach President Trump, and co-authored by John Bolton, Richard Pearl, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Elliot Abrams, and Donald Rumsfeld, a former Secretary of Defense.
What a rogues gallery that is. Wow.
Yeah, and there's quite a few more. Rebuilding America's Defense has stated that to further the process of transformation, and now what they're talking about transformation is we need to radically increase military spending. At the time, 2001, before September 11, it was about $300 billion a year. Now it's closing in on $900 billion. To further the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Of course, they're scripting 9/11 then as a war trigger event. Now, remember the Maine, you know, for the Spanish-American War, the sinking of the Lusitania, the Gulf of Tonkin. This is how it's done. You trigger wars.
Pearl Harbor.
Right, Pearl Harbor. And so 9/11 was the new Pearl Harbor, orchestrated and scripted by these neocon Jews, and carried out by them to a very large extent. Here's a comment on that this is General Hamid Ghul, a former director of Pakistani intelligence. The attacks against New York and Washington on 9/11 were Israeli engineered. The attack started at 8:45, and four flights are diverted from their assigned airspace, and no Air Force fighter jets scramble until 10. Radars are jammed, transponders fail, and no IFF, identify, friend or foe, challenge. Right. In Pakistan, right. If there is no response to an IFF, jets are instantly scrambled. This was clearly an inside job. Will this also be hushed up in the investigation, like the Kennedy assassination? There's so many fingerprints on this. Here's Preston Bailey, PhD author or a writer for Veterans Today. The 9/11s were an inside job by the U.S. Air Force and the IZCS, International Zionist Criminal Syndicate. The staged Gladio-style false flag attack was the choice selected for the attack on the Twin Towers in New York City and the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. on 9/11/2001. The attack was done by the U.S. Air Force under the authority of a Zionist-controlled criminal cabal inside the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the secret shadow government. I mean, this is 2020 hindsight. We should all know this. But I heard one of your guests say, well, of course, the Muslims are going to, you know, try to get us back for all the things we've done to them. And then, you know, Osama bin Laden, therefore, is presumed to be the mastermind and the guy who executed
him. I don't remember hearing that tonight. Was that tonight?
No, it was tonight. This was several weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Right. It was actually Gerald Celente who said something like that. And I thought, gee, if somebody as smart as Gerald hasn't got the message on what happened on 9/11, we better go through this again, you know. And here's what Preston James, PhD, says. There is now a new American war. It is inside America. It is called the War on Terror. The enemy is you. It is a staged phony war that has been created by the International Zionist Crime Syndicate. This new war on terror has an enemy. That enemy is the American people. You and me, this new war on terror has been socially engineered to provide, this is a very telling statement, to provide a continual stream of degradations and provocations against the average American. What does that describe our lives, huh?
Yeah.
And provoking many to resist and causing them to be labeled dissenters. Once they have been labeled dissenters, they are put on a Department of Homeland Security, DHS, Maine Corps Terror Watch List. That's a terrorist data screening database, which top insiders know is a targeted assassination list for later eradication of all freedom-loving Americans who want to restore the American Constitutional Republic. And then this is a 2014 article called The Enemy Is You. At present, the Maine Corps list has over 10 million Americans on it. Most certainly I'm on it, yep. And it is growing every day with thousands of new additions. Get a ticket for a driving offense or any arrest, even if later proven innocent. And it is highly likely you will be placed on this Maine Corps terror watch list and assassination list. any and all dissenters are now being defined as, quote, enemies of the state, and anyone who wants to restore the American Republic will be also defined as a domestic terrorist. All this is what we've been talking about for the last few years, but here Preston James just lays it out. DHS under Jewish...
When did Preston write that? What's the date on it approximately?
2014. This is coming out in Veterans Today. In 2014, this Preston James, PhD, you are the enemy.
I know Preston very well. Yeah.
I would have thought that you would know him. He certainly gets it, you know, and
oh,
is
no,
not
I,
a great
yeah. Pilot. That's a pseudonym for him. He's
oh, okay.
But he has very interesting connections and should be taken seriously as a writer. And Preston is very good.
Absolutely. DHS, Department of Homeland Security, of course, under Alejandro Mayorkas, the Cuban Jew, is a terrorist group hand-assembled by American-Israeli dual-citizen traitors and is designed to tyrannize, capture, and eventually be deployed against Americans to serially mass murder them. This is why they have been called the new American Gestapo of the neo-Bolshevik Red Cheka terror machine. Okay, Preston James, PhD, is telling it like it is. He says the war on terror is obviously a phony, but it's been the greatest boon to the American defense complex ever, with many more, many times more net American taxpayer dollars spent on this war than any war in history, including World War II or the Vietnam War. So he just nails it. And, you know, all this is, by the way, on the homepage of my 911NWO.com website, 911NWO.com, which is the homepage is entitled 9/11 as False Flag, State Sponsored Terror, Global War of Terror, One World Luciferic Antichrist Religion, and New Jew World Order Electronic Warfare Digital Enslavement Beast System Come Civilian Targeting Program. All these are very related. And, you know, if you start to look at how the Bush administration, going back to the Israeli fingerprints on this, here is an actual confession by Ephraim Halevi, former head of Mossad, Israel's Secret Service, and then head of the Center for Strategic and Policy Studies at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, in an article written and printed on 7/7/2005, before the 7/7 bombings in London occurred. He wrote this before the 7/7 bombings. It said the multiple simultaneous explosions that took place yesterday on the London transportation system, 7/7, were the work of perpetrators who had an operational capacity of considerable scope. They have come a long way since the two attacks of the year 1998 against the American embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam, and the aircraft actions of September 11th, 2001. So here he is, Mossad guy at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, really taking credit for the 7/7 bombings on the part of the...
Their arrogance is really astounding when you think about it. They didn't mind rubbing our faces in it, and now it's worse than it was then. They're just right smack in front and just laying it out there. What are you going to do about it?
Right. It's just like Preston James says, it's a continual series of provocations. It's like, kicking a dog and waiting for the dog to bite you so that you can arrest or kill the dog.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it's like to be a TI, by the way. Just an endless series of setups and provocations, abuses. And it is a soft kill, no torture program. So all of this was very, very well thought out. You know, the Patriot Act was written before 9/11. The 2001 NASA war plan came out just before 9/11 and said that they're going to deploy high-tech weaponry against the civilian population because of the horrific threat of individuals and groups. So the presumption, and this is written by a Jew by the name of Dennis M. Bushnell, the quote-unquote chief scientist of NASA, who's actually an engineer. But the idea is that apparently they thought that all the other countries of the world had already been conquered by the United States as a unipolar world. So now as a mop-up operation, they're going to go after individuals and groups. So they've already got the nations in their mind, under control, the CIA and the Mossad and MI6, et cetera. So now they're going to go after dissenting individuals and groups. And all of this was very well laid out, you know, in the, of course, the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act. So this is a long-term plan. And intellectuals have actually stepped up. There's a good article by Chaudhry et al., 2010, From Brain Image to the Bush Doctrine, Critical Neuroscience and the Political Uses of Neurotechnology. Okay, that's what they're using against targeted individuals. They're using brain imagery and neuroscience. And, of course, this is all laid out. And the organizational scheme, as we talked about last time, is the way that the data is shared is RIS, which stands for Regional Intelligence Sharing Systems, and it is federal. I misspoke. I was wrong. I said it was private, but it is federal, and it is a system of police, kind of a clearinghouse for police operations. And then that is teamed up with Automated Trusted Information Exchange and the Homeland Security Information Network to share data on anybody and everybody. And then you think, oh, well, gee, I'll just leave the country, you know. But no, they've got the multinational information sharing, MNIS, which is also sharing data about every citizen in the world. So if a targeted individual, for instance, wants to leave the country, And say go to Mexico like I have, guess what? The protocol is going to follow that person, and I'm regularly accosted here as well. But of course,
really, so they're not giving you any privacy or space or freedom or calm. They're constantly hassling you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but if you've been a TI for a long time, you can spot them. You know, you can spot them really easily. Right. You can avoid them, which is what is recommended, because these are, you know, provocations and your responses are all recorded. And there is a cell phone army, Jeff. They're out there, you know. We've got huge secret armies in the United States. We should keep this in mind. These gangs of gang stalkers that are actually under police and military operations, it's a domestic operation, including special forces, regular forces, and irregular forces, which are your citizens, which are your neighborhood watch, which are your community.
That's right.
Community policing groups. This is a vigilante hate crime. This is another word for it is a thousand cuts. You just keep demeaning and insulting and degrading and try to defeat everything that the person does, and they can do this because they've tracked you. You are tracked 24/7. Not only that, but you have been turned into a piece of surveillance equipment. They can actually see through your eyes, hear through your ears. They can put subliminal messages in your brain. They can put dreams in your head. They can put holograms in your vision. They can get between you and your senses. And this is a way to defeat humanity. This is an extraordinarily evil system. And nobody's talking about it except us, almost. But I'm seeing more people talk about it now. But this is really one of the main subjects of the Cold War. It's called psychotronic warfare, and the Cold War was about the Soviet Union and the United States having an arms race to see who develops psychotronic warfare. And Putin said, whoever perfects whichever nation perfects psychotronic, that's psychological and electronic warfare, will rule the world. So this is how they get by with oh well, this is national security, ma'am. You know, we need your help to, you know, help us.
Oh yeah.
Help us spy on your neighbor. You know, potential threat. Well, so there are always these layers of deception. You know, and you know, we can document these deceptions.
Are they openly paying people to turn their neighbors in at this point, or was that just talk some time ago? I know they're asking for snitch participation. I don't know if they're paying for it, but they probably will at some point.
If look at the cell phone army out there on the corner of your streets.
Yeah,
I see them all the time. They're looking down at their phone. They're looking up. They're looking down. They're looking up. And in my case, as a targeted individual, I believe they get paid for locating me. So maybe $100 for locating a TI, a high-value target, HVT, and then taking a photo. These, so they're all like in a central command system, like you might have in the movie The Truman Show, you know, and they're all, you know, kind of communicating either with their cell phones or perhaps even subliminally or even directly with synthetic telepathy, I don't know, or earphones or whatever. These people are part of a command structure, so they're not just out there being themselves. They're running military operations against you. Now, think about the future civil war, which the Democrats are calling for now. If you've already got a standing army of millions, many millions, maybe even, you know, tens of millions of people that are in this command structure, these people have already proven that they're going to do what they're told. And so this now, this will be a factor in any future civil war. Nobody's talking about the perpetrators of the gang stalking as being a secret standing army, but they very much are. And of course, a lot of these are criminals, you know, and meth addicts that are police informants. And but there are also lots and lots of retired police, lots and lots of retired military. I see these people, special forces. I see these people all the time. And, you know, they're doing what they were trained to do. They've just been told that, you know, I'm the enemy. I'm a terrorist, you know. And I'm, in fact, a retired professor who has five websites and who is trying to get the truth out. But you know, they're obeying orders, just like, I guess, the Nazis did, you know.
Just doing my job.
Just doing my job, yeah. So you'll see lots and lots of these cell phone zombies. One time I was actually coming out of a restroom in a truck stop in New Mexico, and a guy, very, very small guy, was standing kind of in the lobby, had this huge cell phone in his hand. I think he was less than 5 feet. And he had this big cell phone, and a woman's monotone voice was saying, "Proceed to the front counter." And it's like, you know, these people are like just like automatons, you know, they're just a
Well, that's the word, zombie, automaton, they all fit, that's correct.
Zombie apocalypse, these are these perpetrators, of, I look at them as the soulless ones, you know, because a lot of what they're doing is...
That's
is,
fair, and that's probably correct, Eric. Yes, how can you have a soul when your reality comes from a screen?
And what you do on a daily basis is try to disrupt and degrade and demoralize and destroy other people. I mean, if you have become a weaponized human, obeying orders, and you're in a silent war, and you have these communication channels, how long is your soul going to stay intact? I mean, you have sold your soul.
Yeah.
These people have sold their souls. And there is a very, very much a satanic energy around them. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, people, if there's any doubt, I mean, it's 23 years ago that 9/11 occurred. It was a staged false flag, synthetic terror event. The mother of all black ops, according to James F. Marino, got a website to that extent. And James F. Marino, who then, you know, who was a truther, 9/11 truther, then became a targeted individual. Likewise, Alex Constantine, who, you know, wrote some books about psychics.
Oh, he's vanished. I never see his name anywhere.
Well, he's a targeted individual. He wrote extensively about that. In fact,
I remember.
Eloquently and knowledgeably about that. So, you know, we're not all stupid in this country. You know, we know what's going on, but they have ways of course, taking us out, suppressing us, and soft kill, slow kill, no-touch torture. So we really have a government that has turned on us. High-value targets, low-value targets, explicit terrorism, implicit terrorism. All these anti-communist techniques that the CIA and other intelligence agencies perfected during the Cold War are now being directed against the American people. And that's what I was hoping to talk about. And I'm sorry, I'm really sorry I missed the first part, but maybe we can catch up. I wanted to talk about this article, which was written by Joe Viales in 2003, called Operation Crimson Mist, Electronic Slaughter in Rwanda.
He used to write a lot of good stuff, Joe. He's gone. I think he passed.
You know these people. That's great. I just discovered them, and you discovered them earlier. So, but anyway, you can go to, you know, the website. You can Google you know, the slaughter.
V-I-A-L-L-S, Joe Viales. Right. I think he was an Australian, frankly.
Okay, I didn't know that. But so, you know, you can go on Wikipedia, you can go look at the under Google, and you will not get this story. You will get lots of different stories. So this is, again, the part about how reality is very much shaped and tailored by the intelligence communities. But what he's saying, I think, makes eminent sense. And what he's saying is that what really happened. Okay, so you have a three basic tribes. You have the Hutus, which are farmers, and the Tutsis, which are ranchers. You know, and Hutus make up about 83% of the population, and the Tutsis with 15%, and then you have the little Pygmies, the Twas, about 1%. And if you ever saw the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy, they're depicted in a very, very humorous way. In a kind way, but in a very humorous way. But some of the earliest humans, actually, going back 40,000 years. But anyway, so Rwanda was under colonial control by Germany up until World War I, and then Rwanda up until World War II, and then Belgium after World War II, and then after World War II, of course, the CIA in the United States becomes the colonial oppressor under the guise of liberating all these third world countries. Yes, you have your freedom, and we go ahead and we meddle and we take over by dividing and conquering and all these things. And so what happened, according to Joe Viales, and I'm very convinced that this is correct, is a thing called Operation Crimson Mist, where there were just, you know, a very limited number of American CIA people that had a microwave dish on the back of a C-10 Hercules. And what they did is they kind of did some social engineering and took advantage of the tribal hostilities that were there that had been provoked over a long time. There had been even a revolution, you know, where the Tutsis had been overthrown by the Hutus. And then the ethnic hatred was juiced up to a large extent, again, by the CIA personnel. And then what happened was a trigger event. The president of Rwanda, who was a Hutu, by the name Habyarimana of Rwanda, and President Ntiyamira of Burundi, both Hutus, were killed in a, I'm sure, scripted plane crash. And at that point, the entire political command structure of Central Africa was decapitated, leaving the way for this Operation Crimson Mist, which Dial says is the most obscene terminal mind control experiment ever mounted by the United States of America against a sovereign nation. About 1 million Tutsis were killed by the Hutus, and there was anger juiced up again by this plane crash. But what they did is they flew the C-10 Hercules with the microwave dish on the back. They were able to zap them with electronic frequencies that juiced up rage. And I can try to explain that a little bit. But what went from a kind of angry crowd turned into a berserk crowd. It was just tearing people apart with machetes. And up to about 1.1 million Tutsis were killed. The goal was to kill all the Tutsis. And there have been movies made out of this, Hotel Rwanda, that will not tell you this part of the story. But in fact, as I said, General Westmoreland said all future wars will be fought on the electronic battlefield. I believe what you had was an electronic warfare that was inserted into a situation that was kind of carefully maneuvered so that the ethnic differences were exacerbated. And then you had ethnic cleansing, where the dominant tribe, the Hutus, went berserk, electronically induced rage that, of course, they couldn't see. It was invisible war. The Hutu crowd went from simple anger to uncontrollable rage. And Tutsi body parts are flying through the air. And you get the, you know, with Hotel Rwanda and some of these other movies, you get the horror but you don't understand what the trigger was. And I think the trigger was this plane crash and then the use of electronic weapons. And yeah, I'll stop there if you want to get. So what they did was electromagnetically augmented a pre-existing state. Now, this is a very clever form of warfare, and it got the Rwandans to kill each other off. And, of course, the U.S. would benefit by, you know, controlling the politics, having greater access for our corporations to the resources, et cetera.
Got it.
I don't know if you've heard of that theory before. I think that it's probably true. And the reason I bring it up is I think that the CIA and these allied agencies could be looking forward to running some operation like this in the very near future in America.
There's so many things on the table now. The big thing here that I'm watching, and I think many of you listening are, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill, right, which its authors claim is aimed at combating anti-Semitism in American universities. It's much more than that. If signed into law, that bill will mean, and it will be, it would mean suggesting firmly that Jesus Christ was killed by Jews could be classified as being an anti-Semite. If you say that, if you say Jesus was killed by Jews, you could be in big trouble, according to this law. And that's not all. Now, this law has been passed. Remember that. The other part of it is, let me see if I can find it here. Where is it? Here it is. Other anti-Semitic acts mentioned in this bill that's been passed include, quote, accusing Jewish citizens of America of being more loyal to Israel than to the interests of the United States. So if you point out dual citizenship, you're an anti-Semite. And also, if you make any allegations about a world Jewish conspiracy and or about Jews controlling the media, or say anything about them controlling the economy or the government, you are an anti-Semite. That's according to this bill. That's what I'm watching. That will be signed if it gets to the desk of the dead man walking. And you watch. This is war on the First Amendment to the max. So I'll send you this story.
Oh, I totally have been expecting this. What are the first things that Vladimir Lenin did? At the Bolshevik Revolution, of course, Vladimir Lenin was a crypto Jew, a secret Jew. He purged about 1 million intellectuals in the first year, and he set up the anti-Semitism law, making it a capital crime to criticize the Jews. Of course, capital crime to criticize
same
the
old,
Jews.
Same old. They're still at it.
Yeah. Wow. The Jews were behind the Bolshevik Revolution. The Jews and the Masons were behind the French Revolution. Now we have our Bolshevik Revolution in America. Same people, I would say, even the same demon spirits, many of the same playbooks.
Now they've got tech. They've got advanced tech to implement it, but it's the same genesis. I agree. All right, we have to run, Eric. Thank you for that. We got a lot in there. You did well. Let me try and get you back on next Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, and we'll finish up.
Okay, great. Yeah, let me know I'm
okay.
here.
Okay, I will.
Good night.
Okay. Thanks much. All right, good night. Professor Eric Carlstrom, and that's it for tonight, Thursday. Friday, tomorrow, let's get ready. Prepare. Talk soon. Thanks for being out there.
Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound. And take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rents.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the Subscribe Now link on Rents.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times. You're listening to the Rents Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide on the net and at...
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong.